Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A number of years ago, a friend of mine said he often thought that one of the simplest and deepest truths about human beings is that when all is said and done, we in fact do what we want to do. Just think about that for a moment. When all is said and done, we in fact do what we want to do. And yet most all of us, I certainly include myself in this, are oh so good at making excuses for what we in fact simply don't want to do. In the parable our Lord tells in this Sunday's gospel, he tells us of people who made excuses. Jesus is at table in the house of a leading Pharisee on the Sabbath. Having healed a man on that Sabbath and having taught a lesson in humility and in the kind of giving that expects no reward in this life, but will in fact be rewarded in the resurrection, one of his table companions exclaims, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Opinions differ as to whether this man was simply a pious soul who devoutly looked forward to the resurrection, or whether he was perhaps the self-satisfied sort of person who imagined that he would naturally, obviously, be among the guests at the heavenly banquet. Whatever the case may be, the Lord Jesus then tells the familiar story of a man who prepares a great banquet. But when he sends his servant to call the previously invited guests to the banquet, they all with one accord began to make excuses. "I have bought a piece of ground and must go and see it. I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and am going to test them. I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come." Now, all of Jesus' parables point to what God is in fact doing through him. And so in telling this parable, our Lord is in fact pointing to what is going on right then and there in the house of the Pharisee whose hospitality he's enjoying. And what is going on there? Jesus, who is God in the flesh, is like the host in the parable, then and there extending his gracious invitation. And he's also pointing to what has been going on in the long and sad history of God's ancient chosen people, Israel. Not long before this, the Lord Jesus had exclaimed, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to you. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing." The Pharisees and Jewish leaders were not willing. They just keep on doing what they in fact want to do. And what they finally want to do is to get Jesus out of the way as a threat to their position and power. And so, with the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders having rejected Jesus, these are the men first invited to the banquet who, with one accord, began to make excuses. The invitation goes to the poor and simple people among the Jews, the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind of Jesus' parable. And then the invitation goes to the Gentile nations, those found in the highways and hedges, so that the banqueting hall may be filled with happy guests. But, says the giver of the feast, None of those men who were first invited shall taste of my supper. Yes, when all is said and done, we human beings in fact do what we want to do. And so ask yourself, what do you and I want to do? What are our desires? What are our loyalties? What are our commitments? What are our priorities? What comes first in our lives? Can we truthfully claim that our first priority is, as the Catechism instructs us, to fear, love, and trust in God above all things? What favorite sin do I not want to part with? Or to put it another way, what idol has in fact taken the place of God in my heart, crowding out Jesus, getting in the way of fearing, loving, and trusting God more than anything else in the world? It's perhaps worth remembering that most of the world's troubles are not the result of some unaccountable happenstance, but of choices, lots and lots and lots of choices, made not only by the rich and powerful, but also by quite ordinary people like you and like me, of people doing just what they want to do. And oh, the excuses we find for doing just that. And so this parable is indeed a word of judgment, a word to bring us up short, a word to warn us of the danger of speaking that final no to God and to his will. But like all of Jesus' parables, it is not only a word of judgment, it is also a word of mercy. For just as the would-be host in the parable prepares a great banquet, so the Lord God has from the foundation of the world been preparing a great banquet for his fallen creation, a banquet of pure love, a banquet of joy, a banquet of great mercy. Age after age, he kept on sending the prophets as his messengers to extend the invitation to that banquet, and finally sent his only son, who not only invites the whole lost world to that banquet of mercy, but in fact himself prepares it at great cost, the costly sacrifice of his body and blood on the cross. Through that death, he destroys the power of death, and through his resurrection opens the way to the heavenly banquet for all who place their trust in him. Yes, blessed indeed is the one who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And you and I, in fact, do just that when in the Holy Supper of the Lord's body and blood, we even now receive a foretaste of that heavenly banquet. As gracious host and friend of sinners, the Lord Jesus invites to his supper those who are sorry for their sins and who hunger and thirst for the forgiveness that alone can make us acceptable to God. This Holy Supper we celebrate is truly the banquet of pure, unmerited love. But the love we here receive is not only a forgiving love, it is also a transforming love, slowly turning hearts away from doing what we want to do to the happiness of doing God's will here on earth as it is done in heaven. Blessed is the one who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, unto life everlasting. Amen.